WK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Maryland's Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollens met with the man mistakenly deported to prison in El Salvador. CBS's Scott McFarland.
In response to the meeting, Abrego Garcia's wife, Jennifer Vasquez Sura, said in a statement, "The efforts of my family and community in fighting for justice are being heard because I now know that my husband is alive."
The 20-year-old son of a sheriff's deputy in custody in the shooting at Florida State University in Tallahassee that killed two men and wounded six others. A witness, Stephanie Horowitz, who survived the 2018 Parkland shooting.
I never thought it would happen to me for the first time. And here we are. And unfortunately, this is America for you.
During a visit to Italy, Vice President Vance has weighed in on talks to end the war in Ukraine.
I want to update the Prime Minister on some of the negotiations between Russia, Ukraine, and also some of the things that have happened. Even in the past 24 hours, we think we have some interesting things to report on.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With news on 540 WAUK, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Make sure you're weather aware. There's a severe thunderstorm watch for the listening area until 11 a.m. this morning. Keep listening for the latest, and we'll have more coming up in the forecast. The Milwaukee Police Association is calling for possible obstruction charges against staff at Fraydert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. It comes after officers were allegedly denied medical care unless they were disarmed. The union says the hospital staff have also interfered with lawful police investigations, making it harder to collect evidence and interview witnesses. Fraydert has apologized after a recent incident. The police association warns that if the conduct continues, they'll call for criminal charges against any staff who impedes police duties. The agenda was for talk about Madison's ballot problems, but Bob wanted to talk about Milwaukee.
Bob,
need to be locked
stop.
Up, and I would hope that
stop.
The
Stop.
Stop.
I am not going to let you keep going, Bob.
Coming up.
I'm going to talk over you until you stop.
The Bob is Bob Spindell, and that was part of the heated conversation during a meeting of the Wisconsin Election Commission yesterday. Chair Ann Jacobs had the gavel and wouldn't let Spindell comment about the issue of not having enough ballots in Milwaukee for the April 1st election. He also talked about claims including black curtains at ballot counting sites.
You are out of order. The city of Milwaukee is not on this agenda. You don't get to hijack the agenda. You are not.
Combined aspect.
You are not the chair.
Mr. Spindell wasn't kicked out and the meeting did go on. Milwaukee officials have clarified the restricted areas were unrelated to absentee ballot processing. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers host the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Athletics. Tonight at AmFam Field, Freddy Peralta on the mound for the crew. NBA, the Bucks head to Indianapolis to play the Pacers. Tomorrow at noon for game one of their best-of-seven playoff series. Damian Lillard back at practice just a month after being diagnosed with a blood clot, but not active yet. Bobby Portis back from that 25-game suspension.
You know, I've been suspended for a little minute, so it's fun to just practice for real, and get up and down with the guys, so. It's fun being in the mix with the guys and trending towards the playoffs, and it's fun to just be on the court with the guys. So it was a great day in the office.
Giannis asked about his advice to younger teammates who've never played in a postseason game.
My first playoff, I got injected. My first playoff, I tackled somebody. See, it doesn't get worse than that. But, yeah, just anybody that plays for the first time in the playoffs, just do not tackle somebody. You know, that would be my advice.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today, and some of those could be severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Be weather aware today. Our high right around 78. Tonight, gradual clearing after midnight, 44. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwalbe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Emerson Lehman, host of the WBAY Morning Show here in Green Bay, into the studio for a pickleball breakdown. And it's a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr drops by with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Cardi. How you doing, man?
My bad. Sorry about that. Good morning, Earl. How are you today, man? I'm feeling great.
Hey, man. I'm doing fine, man. It's Friday.
Now it's Friday for you now. Well, that's my spiel.
Well, it's Friday. It's 70. It's going to be 75 degrees.
Yeah.
So all is right with the world.
I'm with you on that.
Well, it's going to be 75 degrees today. Tomorrow.
Right, back down to 22.
Who knows, right?
Well, if you don't know by now who that guy is, that's not Elmer Fudd, is it?
No, that's no.
That's Sandy Williams, my co-host. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Like you said, it's going to be a hot, wet day. So it's sort of tropical. This is tropical spring version Milwaukee 1.0. Tomorrow will be winter spring. Who knows?
Yeah. Man, it's still April. We haven't had a lot of rain yet, right?
Well, not too much, In fact, that's we probably had the right amount, which now that we've said it, is probably going to go over the edge.
Yeah,
it's supposed to rain for the next several days. April showers, we've got it coming.
Yeah. So Sandy, you and I have been on the airwaves for what? 4 years? 3 years?
No. Well, I think thought about it. The first time I appeared on your show was about 7 years ago.
Hey, come on, Sandy. Come on. It's 7 years.
Yeah, it was about 7 years ago on Brady Street, the first time we tried this out. So it's been a long time. Yeah.
I can't believe it's been 7 years.
Yeah, well, time flies.
I can't believe I put up with you for 7 years.
I was thinking the same thing, Earl.
that's a mutually
held thought.
Sandy, I will say this. From the first time you sat down in the studio, we sat down together and started talking. Well, you were just such a bashful guy, man. I had to drag it out of you. You don't remember those early days, do you?
Yeah, I guess those days are gone, people think. Lots of listeners are thinking, can't we get back? Can't we get back to those days?
And I never will forget how we first wound up connecting. And, again, we were at a little coffee shop over on Brady Street. And after I would leave the radio station, a mutual friend of ours, Roger Quindell, and a couple other guys, Mark and others, wounded Vietnam veterans would meet there. And I'm coming there. Roger invited me, and you're there. And these other guys are doing a lot of talking, and you're kind of serene, man. You're kind of quiet.
And yeah, I'm like, serene. I like that. I like that notion.
Hey, and you're quiet. And I'm and so, you know, you weren't talking much. And then one day they all had to go to a ceremony. Remember that?
Yeah.
At the war memorial. And it was just you and I. And we started talking and talking and talking.
Yeah.
And talking some more. And I think we might have been there for a couple hours. And I said, wow, man, this guy. I said, man, have you ever been on radio? I remember like yesterday, man.
Well, people look at my face and they always say, you know, you ought to be on the radio.
and so we began to have this conversation, and I invited you on, and man, like they say, the rest is history. But Sandy, you so much information, so much knowledge.
Well, we enjoy talking to one another, and I think we both held a mutual interest in trying to hope for the world getting better and trying to understand what the hell's going on in the world. And it's become remarkably difficult, actually.
Well, you know, Sandy, you and I have become the best of friends outside of radio. And we're going to continue that because, man, you know, it's the information that you have and your life and what you've learned and it's so important to so many people. Man, let me say this to people who, even though this is our last rodeo on the radio during the Earl Ingram show, you and I are going to be doing podcasts.
Yeah.
And so the great thing about podcasts is no commercials.
Well, no commercials, and you can turn them on and listen to them whenever you want to. And, you know, I think the world is kind of transitioning in the direction of podcasts. It's kind of a buffet of information as you want it, when you want it. And, you know, some of the dangers are that by self-selection, people might just choose to be in an echo chamber. But hopefully we're going to offer up some podcasts that are both creative, interesting and maybe compelling.
Well, there's no question. We're going to have many different people join us on the podcast. And so I'm really excited about the next chapter of where Sandy Williams and Earl Ingram go. This is not the end. It's the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, so Sandy, you know, when I started looking around again for things to talk about, you're a Harvard graduate and Donald Trump is waging war on Harvard.
Yeah, to me, the notion that the federal government would try to take over a federal university because of a disagreement with respect to the nature of what it is that goes on in the university. The demand letter that went to Harvard went so far as to want to take over the admissions policies of Harvard so they could decide who it is that got into Harvard. I mean, there's a running joke in the White House. I'd be interested in whether it's true, but the joke around the White House is the schools that Donald Trump is attacking are the ones that Barron didn't get into. And who knows? You know, this president acts so unilaterally and out of such individual spite that maybe that is the case. But the fact is that the putative excuse for taking on these universities originally was anti-Semitism, but that's clearly not what's going on here. And the demands going to the universities have little or nothing to do with anti-Semitism. It has to do with taking them over, trying to destroy them in terms of allowing them to be places where liberal thought might be expressed as well as conservative. I mean, Harvard's a university from which many of the conservatives in the U.S. Senate and Congress graduated. And so it's a place that has allowed diversity of thought. It's thought of as being a bastion of liberality, but actually it's a bastion of open thinking and accepts nonconformists. The notion that Harvard University would be under assault by the federal government is, I think, a frightening prospect for every American because it represents the capacity of this government to take on anything and anybody that dissents.
Well, you know, Sandy, every university that did not do away with diversity, equity, and inclusion and did not go along or totally capitulate to Donald Trump, he's threatened. Many of them have knuckled under, Sandy, and they can't, they don't have a $50 billion endowment. So they've had to knuckle under. If people really understood, Sandy, that he's taken away science, man. He's taken away things that are going to benefit the American people in the future.
Yeah, Harvard, more Harvard professors have earned Nobel Prizes than have earned Nobel Prizes in most countries in the world. I mean, Harvard's a sort of a sacred place to the world at large because it is so intent on excellence. And he's threatening to take away the tax exempt status from these places, which actually destroys them in a way, because no longer can donations to that entity be tax deducted, and the place itself becomes taxed on much that it does, unlike any university in the world.
He wants to bar international students from coming to Harvard. International students, Sandy, I don't know. I'm assuming that international students, when they come to Harvard, they pay the full freight. They're not getting the kind of breaks that American citizens.
Well, let's talk about international students. One of them who turned into the richest man in the world, Elon Musk. Apparently, if Elon Musk was attending, if the person who's going to become Elon Musk was attending Harvard right now, he'd be told that he can't attend Harvard and he can't even enter the United States. You know, Elon Musk went to school here on a student visa.
You know, Sandy, I just don't think people grasp just the totality of what is happening in this country. They know certain segments of it, but Sandy, to even say to people that you don't have a right for peaceful protests, you don't have a right to free speech, Sandy. Things that you constantly, over the years that I've known you and talked to you, that you stood up for, it's taking those things away.
Well, it's a direct assault on free thought. One of the things that is said in the demand letter of, and the PR surrounding it about Harvard was the place that it was this bastion of liberal thinking. You know, it's a bunch of lefties. Well, yeah, if it's a bunch of lefties, does that mean that it's an appropriate place for the U.S. government to attack? It's the notion that this president can take all the tools of government and train them and put anybody or anything in the crosshairs of all the tools of government is an exceedingly dangerous prospect. And I'm afraid the waters in that pot that are cooking, that might cook the frog, are already boiling. You know, we have an authoritarian president, and it's not just the vendetta of an angry politician. It's the actions of an authoritarian.
So Sandy, I listen well. You said we have an authoritarian president. We have now.
Yeah, it's there. It's in place.
All right, 855-752-4842 is the number. My co-host Sandy Williams is on the line.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a 2-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Hey, Sandy, our last dance for romance.
Yeah, well, I know. It's a little scary, actually. And you're stepping on my toes.
But it's a great, great, great selection, though. Welcome back into the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at the same number. Yes, our last dance, Sandy, on the Earl Ingram Show, you know, for now. It's Friday, and that means Sandy Williams is on board. Sandy, I just have to say, man, you know, you have always tempered your responses to things. And I've never known you to be a guy who hyperbole. You really think about the things you say before they come out of your mouth. But I heard you clearly say the authoritarian government is here now.
Yeah, you know, I've for most of my life been considered myself a centrist, open-minded sort of person. I think I am. But to be honest with you, every morning I wake up and when I realize where I am and what's going on, I'm both angry and frightened. I'm angry that we're in this circumstance and we have someone as personally faulted as Donald Trump in charge. And I'm angry because so many people seem to be committed to the notion that Donald Trump should be allowed to do whatever he wants to do as if he's now the king and the king has his way. When in fact, what we've got is a government that's supposed to have checks and balances and make sure that no one person ever becomes unilaterally that powerful. And then I'm frightened because if this is the model that is allowed to persist, then this is the model that will be duplicated going forward. This is how countries move from democratic republics to authoritarian republics. And we're there. We are living right today in the circumstances which reflect an authoritarian republic. And unless we wake up and reverse course, this is what's going to happen. And the people who are now, who call themselves conservatives, who apparently believe in this form of government, will be very uncomfortable when someone who calls themselves a liberal takes those reins and begins to deploy them in the same way.
You know, Sandy, when you just, as you stated, man, every minute, man, of every day. There's something that's going on. He's trying to bury history in one form, shape, or fashion. But he's trying to create a new history for our nation.
He's trying to reshape society, but unfortunately he's trying to reshape it in his image, which is pretty, you know, I don't think anyone would concur that they want their children to grow up to be like Donald Trump. And yet he's creating an environment in which conformity is required. The original hue and cry of the conservatives was that they were being banished to the coat room because they were conservatives and they were being prejudiced against by the intellectual community, the liberal intellectual community. And what is their response today? But to banish everyone to the courtroom, to the cloakroom, except those who concur. And they are requiring a litmus test for consistency, which is very, very constrained. What they want is what Orwell wrote about when he wrote about the book 1984, which he wrote much, much earlier in the 20th century. And now he should have written it. He should have called it 2025.
You know, Sandy, I was reading something the other day where it's conservative news outlet, and it said that 64% of Americans agree that all illegal immigrants need to be banished out of this country. 64% of Americans. I don't believe that. I don't believe that number. But, you know, it is safe to say, and you and I know it, and everybody else knows it, our nation, if you banished all illegal immigrants, 11 million or more, the nation couldn't move forward, man. I mean, the economy would collapse.
Well, what's happening is that Donald Trump has this threat of banishing them all, and he's now going to line his political pockets and the pockets of his friends by having people who absolutely need them to stay in this country come forward to kiss his ring and to ask for lenience in the same manner that his tariff action has called for all kinds of corporations across America to come forward and beg for lenience, to beg for exceptions to the tariffs. And what is required in return for those exceptions is oaths of loyalty, contributions. Who knows? I mean, everyone understands that when tariffs are under the control and under the thumb of a president, it creates the tool for corruption at the highest level. And at the greatest amount.
So, Lorlea, student visas are being revoked at the University of Wisconsin as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is a broad assault on everything that was all at once. This is a blunderbuss where operatives are in every agency are exercising all the tools of government to try and force and coerce a point of view.
You know, Sandy, I don't know. I didn't think there was a law against being liberal. If you know, I didn't think that it was a crime to be somebody who is not a conservative in this country. You know, I thought we had freedoms to be whoever we wanted to be.
Well, I think this is all a result of the long-term propaganda which has caused conservatism to be the litmus test for patriotism. And liberality has been accused of being people who hate America,
yes,
who are not patriots. And I think lots of people have bought into that concept. And that's the horror, that somehow being a conservative is to be an American and to be a liberal is to be an enemy.
855-752-4842. Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With news on 540 WAUK, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Public demonstrations are coming to Muskego and Oconomowoc this weekend. The 5051 website catalogs area events, with a Muskego protest listing saying demonstrators will be holding signs targeting Trump's policies. They'll be at Moreland and Janesville Road in the late morning tomorrow. An Oconomowoc rally is billed as a, quote, Main Street over Wall Street event. North Main Street is the listed location for that gathering at 11 a.m. Another courthouse is where ICE has taken action. ICE agents detained a man yesterday inside the Ozaukee County Courthouse. It was after the man appeared in court for an unrelated matter. That's according to the sheriff's office there. The arrests follow similar incidents in Milwaukee County last month, sparking concerns about due process rights and public safety concerns. A staff member at a Milwaukee high school is under investigation for alleged sexual misconduct. It's reported in a letter sent to MPS parents at Rufus King High School this week. Police and district officials say the employee isn't yet being identified and isn't at the school during an investigation. If you think things will be the same in Green Bay as on game day, think again. Lisa Hale has more about preparations in Titletown.
The NFL draft starts in just 7 days, and the city of Green Bay voted this week to double parking ramp rates during the event. Rates will go from $1 an hour or $12 a day to $2 an hour or $24 a day for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. The city says the doubled rates are needed to cover the increased staffing and maintenance needs for those 3 days that the event is in town.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at waukradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Nate Bargatze's star continues to rise. The comedian is selling out theaters and has multiple TV and film projects in the pipeline. As it turns out, he wasn't busy enough, so he will host the 77th Emmy Awards broadcast. Bargatze calls the gig a huge honor to host such an iconic awards show and added that he is beyond excited to work with CBS to create a night that can be enjoyed by families around the world. Huh. You might not have heard Amanda Bynes' name in a while, but the former child star is excited to announce that she is now on OnlyFans. That's right, the What a Girl Wants star says fans can interact with her for just $50 a month. But hold on, perverts, there is a catch. Bynes says she will not offer any racy content. I know what you're thinking. I already pay OnlyFans thousands of dollars a month to watch attractive women bake cookies and read scripture. Good luck, Amanda. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races, June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today, and some of those could be severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Be weather aware today. Our high right around 78. Tonight, gradual clearing after midnight, 44. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Author and columnist Doug Moe joins us. His new work called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, about the University of Wisconsin biochemist. Don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
to my love, took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in snow-covered hills till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Seasons of my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. My co-host, Sandy Wim. Sandy, the music.
Well, yeah, first one's Last Dance. This one's about changes, just moving on through succeeding after after a landslide. And so that's what everyone does.
You know, Sandy, Trump's attack on the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, threatened the Fed's independence. And so no other president has attacked the Federal Reserve. It's separate from the government for a reason. Yeah. Does he have the power to remove the Federal Reserve chair?
Well, he plans on potentially exercising it. And before he was elected, we talked about this during the campaign. The financial community talked about it during the campaign. It's very important to the financial community that politics and politicians not be in control of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is there to dish out the hard medicine that a politician would be very unlikely to serve up to try and quell inflation. Well, you quell inflation by raising interest rates. Raising interest rates is by its very nature politically unpopular. And if a politician is in charge, the financial community is terrified that the necessary medicine of interest increases to stifle inflation will not be taken, and that inflation will go from being moderate to runaway as the result of there being no perceived controls for it. And the financial community worried about this when he was running for office. He during the time of the campaign said he had no intention of attacking the Federal Reserve. He talked about how he would recognize and stand by its independence. And here we have him directly attacking it, talking about how the day can't be soon enough when he gets rid of Powell. And it's, why is that? Because Powell several days ago said that the level of tariffs was potentially going to create some difficult scenarios. Well, he was just speaking the financial truth. He was just saying what it was that the people who look at monetary controls have to consider, which is the difficulty of the broad and large array of tariffs which are being implemented and what effect it might have on the economy. And now Donald Trump, because he uttered those words, says he's got to go.
You know, Sandy, it is so horrific when you think about all of these areas that he's poisoning at once. He's poisoning every freshwater reservoir that there is.
Well, the Federal Reserve are important to the rest of the is important to the view of the rest of the world of the stability of the dollar. One of the reasons the dollar has been so stable is that the Federal Reserve has been an effective central bank in terms of how it has contended with, for instance, inflation in the United States. Inflation is something that impacts the value of the dollar and could cause it to become volatile, and it could cause it to become weakened and less interesting to the rest of the world to serve as the reserve currency. Donald Trump, all of these actions he's taking, the tariff action, the action with respect to the Federal Reserve, and his general conduct has caused a very rapid erosion in the rest of the world's confidence in the dollar, as recognized by the fact that the value of the dollar is going down at a time when tariffs are being implemented and the value of the dollar ought to be going up. And the value of the dollar going down is like adding on to the tariffs, because a lower value dollar buys less in the way of world goods, and it's like imposing a tariff on everything that Americans buy.
You know, Sandy, you just got through talking about strange sell-off in the dollar raises the specter of investors losing trust in the U.S. under Trump. You know, Sandy, maybe the average person who is just living, we're just living our lives, we don't know the intricacies of how the monetary fund and all those things work globally, and how all these things interact to allow us to be able to get credit at a decent rate, to be able to buy homes, to be able to buy cars, to be able to have credit. We don't understand that at the root of the things he is doing now is destroying or making those things almost impossible for the American people to ever get again.
Well, the strength of the dollar as the reserve currency in the world is at the very heart of the prosperity that many Americans are able to experience. And if we lose world currency status, we will become what England became in the 1950s after the pound lost its world currency status. And it takes a long time for an economy to recover, because a lot of our economy is built around and dependent upon, our whole financial world is dependent upon that. Our ability to issue debt at the federal level is dependent on that. And so, you know, Donald Trump was a reckless businessman. He bankrupted himself or his businesses six times. He took four casinos down when everyone thought a casino could never go bankrupt. And now we've got the United States, which no one believes could ever have its financial solvency and reputation destroyed. And we have a president who, in the space of 3 months, is threatening to do that. You know, Donald Trump has never exhibited capability in a business setting, in spite of the fact that he was able to develop a brand that he said was and was premised on the notion that he was a great deal maker. He's never made a great deal in his life. He wrote a book that, a book was ghostwritten on his behalf that talked about it, but his conduct has never achieved that. And now what we've got is a president who's exercising this same sort of reckless conduct as president, and it's a horrible thing.
So
it's,
Sandy,
it's horrible. It's a dangerous thing.
On all fronts, he is bringing this to bear on the American people and the peoples of the earth. He is in all these different sectors, Sandy. I don't care what it is, he's put his stamp on it. And the worst part about it is, Sandy, is there are people now who supported him who are now realizing, hey, you know, this is a mistake. You kind of see, Sandy, the other part of this is getting ready to happen next month, because they've got to then address cuts in the budget in order to offset the big tax breaks, and they're going to be going after the programs that they said they'd never go. I mean, all of these things are happening, Sandy, at the same time.
Well, and I think we have a public out there, the 49.6% of people, the less than majority people who elected Donald Trump, who are going to have to deal with what the psychologists call cognitive dissonance. You know, the cognitive dissonance is the concept that if you believed in something strongly, it was because your mind says it's because it was a good idea, because you don't want to admit to yourself that you were fooled or that you were a fool. And it's the reason why fraternities have hazing, because if you do a bunch of foolish things to enter something like a fraternity, your mind decides, well, it must be very important for me to enter this fraternity. It must be a very good thing. Or somewhere along the hazing, you realize that it's foolish and you don't proceed. And so that cognitive dissonance creates an extreme loyalty amongst those who go through the process. And what we have now, Carl Jung, the social psychologist, would say we've got a nation filled with cognitive dissonance who are going to have to try to resolve what they think about the fact that the person they elected is the fool that maybe he was reputed to be, which they bought into, and now they have to come to grips with. He is a dangerous person. He is a narcissist. And the people who say that we've got to get out of his way so the president can do what it is he wants are yielding to him the power to be capricious and reckless and to give the power to someone who doesn't listen to advice. He listens to his gut, someone who doesn't read things, someone who only exercises an intuition that bankrupted six businesses.
You know, Sandy, so many different frightening aspects. I remember when the conversation about Marco Rubio and becoming the secretary, and so people said, well, Marco Rubio he's a smart guy. He's a great guy, and so even Democrats said yes to Marco Rubio. What has Marco Rubio done, Sandy, since he's gotten there? He's capitulated.
Well, he's obviously on a leash, and it's getting to be a short leash, and he exercised a little bit of independence a month and a half ago, and I'm confident that he was told that he couldn't be Secretary of State if he kept exercising that kind of independence. In the first administration of Donald Trump, there were people there who told him why his ideas weren't good ideas. In his second administration, we have a cabinet filled with people who call him dear leader, literally, and who tell him on media and on TV what beautiful clothes he's wearing. We have the emperor with no clothes and a cabinet who is exalting his wardrobe.
You know, Sandy, his cabinet, Congress, and you and I I want to hear your assessment of the Congress people who are the last bastion, I think. You know, I mean, certainly people mobilizing, tens of thousands of people in the street. I don't even know, Sandy, if that's enough to stop this juggernaut that's kind of making its way down.
Well, I think that the juggernaut so far is based completely on the exercise of executive power, which Congress has. It's very difficult for Congress to get in the way of executive power. It could try to pass a law that could strain the power of the president to declare a so-called emergency. You know, this power of the president over tariffs is premised on his capacity to declare an emergency status that requires that he respond to the emergency with tariffs. He did that with the bogus fentanyl emergency and has used that as the basis for now declaring all of these tariffs, which are the beginning of this exercise of imperial non-constraint. But Congress needs to try. But the fact is that the strategy of this incoming administration is to use imperial powers and to try and put the president in a position where he can ignore Congress. He's already declared his intention and has started exercising that intention to ignore courts with this deportation case. It's a clear case of him, putting his thumb to his nose and wiggling his fingers. Which I just did at the Supreme
Court.
Sandy,
don't do that again.
Well, I think that was, to be honest with you, I kind of like doing it.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. My co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're going to take phone calls at the top of the next hour. So just be patient, please. Sandy, got a lot more to talk about. I'm so terrified of where we're headed. I think everybody should be. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
a new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Chef Jeff Grunder with a dinner tip you won't want to miss. The Machine Shed's Parmesan-crusted America's Cut. It's seriously amazing. We start with a juicy grilled pork loin and top it with a Parmesan crust made from real butter, roasted garlic, grated Parmesan, parsley, cracked peppercorn, and toasted breadcrumb. We bake it to a golden brown and drizzle with white wine sauce. It's a game changer. Trust me. Head to the Shed tonight. I-94 and Highway 164, Pewaukee.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. If you're just joining us, this is the last show with my co-host Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be doing podcasts in the immediate future, so we'll certainly welcome you guys to that as well. So Sandy, and we're going to take calls at the top of the hour. You know, Sandy, I am so, you know, frightened, not because the media is afraid. I'm not afraid in that manner. I'm afraid at what we see coming, Sandy. You know how they always say, well, you see what's coming out of that tunnel, what you see is a train. It really is a train.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's any way to turn it around now, Sandy. It's only been 3.5 months.
Well, I think we should understand that, you know, Governor Gavin said that he thought the disappearance of this guy, you know, the deportation of this guy was a distraction. I don't think so. I think that Kristi Noem using all this video to demonstrate the terror that ICE can create by coming in the dark of night and deporting people and disappearing people is being staged for a reason. And I think the deportation of this fellow to El Salvador and the president's talk about taking homegrowns and sending them to El Salvador too is all part of a theater that's designed to have a chilling effect on America. It's much the same way that Putin would stage his murders of those who were dissidents in a manner that was not very private, you know, poisoning someone in the middle of London, taking Navalny and disappearing him to a gulag in northern Siberia, and having people fall out of windows unceremoniously, is all part of staging the notion that if you are a dissident, this is what you might expect to have happen to you. Taking on Harvard and bringing them to their knees, having corporate executives show up and have to genuflect in order to get exceptions to tariffs, is all part of a demonstration that if you don't buy into the president's program 100%, you can expect to have the guns of government turned upon you in a manner that could cause you to disappear.
You know, Sandy, clearly what he did with the Associated Press, he's been forced since to relent. But I think, Sandy, along the way, if you think it through, he's got control over the military. Okay, yeah. He's going to do whatever it takes, right?
Well, sure, he's already stationing troops down at the southern border, and whether that's a good idea or not, I don't know. But when he starts stationing troops around the United States in various cities and utilizing them in that manner, we can all be sure that we've got a serious problem.
There's bombing taking place in where the Houthis are located. I can't.
Yemen.
Yemen. And so the American people know nothing of the magnitude of what's going on there.
Well, incidentally, it's not getting a lot of PR because it's, in fact, not having a great deal of impact on the activities of the Houthis. You know, we had a shock and awe a couple of weeks ago where there was the announcement that was announced, unfortunately, by the group that had a group chat that had a newspaper guy in the group chat itself. But they aren't talking about it very much because the fact is that the shock and awe is not being very effective. And it's all part of a grand scheme, I guess, to try and flex muscle across the world, which isn't working very well. You know, the fact is that largesse has been a big part of the power of the U.S. government. And when Donald Trump withdrew largesse from the rest of the world, he left us only with military power.
You know, Sandy, you just, every day, there's something more. And yet, you know, like I said, he's still got people who are willing to follow him. You use the verbiage off the air, a cult.
Yeah.
Will you say that on the air?
I will. I mean, I think that a cult is something that you can understand exists when you see people talking about essentially a dear leader, in which the leader can do no wrong, in which they invest in the leader complete discretion to do whatever because they believe that whatever the leader does is okay by definition. It's a cult is where you can't ask one of the members what the belief of the cult is. They have to defer to the leader to find out what it is that they have to believe. And all of this is what's going on here. Donald, there's no liturgy in the Republican Party other than what Donald Trump describes it to be. And people have to wait to find out what it is Donald Trump says it is. There's no question that the Republican Party today, as manifested by MAGA at least, has become a personality cult, and that personality is Donald Trump.
All right, 855-752-4842. We're going to take phone calls at the top of the hour. My co-host, Sandy Williams.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we're going to play a little Which Whopper's Worst. And I'm not talking about burgers. Which lie of the week is the worst lie? Tune in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. A woman who survived 2018's Parkland school shooting was a witness to yesterday's at Florida State University that left two men dead. Stephanie Horowitz tells CBS.
You looked out into that room and you knew there was an emergency. There was not anything there, no movement, dead silence, and laptops open, bags on the floor. I knew what that meant.
President Trump is calling Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen a fool and a grandstander after he met in El Salvador with Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the man mistakenly deported to prison there.
Our goal was very simple today, which was to check on the health and well-being of Kilmar.
Christian pilgrims in Jerusalem retraced Christ's final steps on his way to crucifixion this Good Friday. Crucifixion.
To be here in the Holy Land, even while the war is on, it is still an incredibly moving experience.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.